have an army. We have a Hulk.
Welcome to episode 96 of We Have a Hulk podcast, where we talk all things film, TV and comic book. And I got that right.
Well done.
Finally. Yes. I am your usual host, Nicola.
And I am your co-pilot, Chris.
What are we going to be talking about in this week's episode then, Chris?
So we've got Home of the Hulks, where we'll be talking about things that we've been doing, watching, reading and so on. We've got our Bohemian Rhapsody review. We've got an interview with Jay Ali, who plays Agent Rayna Deem in season 3 of Daredevil, which is pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
He was really great when we were talking to him on like, Twitter and stuff.
It was insane.
Although he was answering all the questions. We're like, no, stop.
Quick.
And we got our Hulk topics this week, which is who do you want to see portrayed in a biopic, essentially?
Yes.
So let's go on to it, shall we?
Oh, why not? Okay.
Doing. What have we been doing the last couple of weeks? So you went to see your sister in Cheltenham for her birthday. And I went to see my family and granny for her birthday. And we got her some flowers that reminded me of her carpet.
That's nice. Did she like the flower carpets?
She liked the flowers. She put them in the room with the carpet that I was thinking of. And then I told her that I got them because they reminded her of the carpet. And then she made a comment about how I probably didn't like her carpet or something like that. And then
oh dear.
I can't remember what I said, but I tried to style it out. Anyway.
Awkward.
Awkward. Yeah, also you'd be pleased to know we fitted a new toilet seat today, so go us.
Indeed.
So what have we been watching this week, Nicola?
So we finished Daredevil season 3 and it was absolutely amazing.
Amazing.
Really, really good. What did you think?
Yeah, it got so much better for me. It started great, but I felt like it was a lot of like character-based and it took a little while to sort of get into it, story-wise. And I really enjoyed the build-up from sort of episode 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
It really got into it. And then those last group of episodes were amazing. So thoroughly enjoyed it. What about you?
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, it's hard to kind of talk about it without
spoiling
anything, so let's not do that. But overall, yeah, just fantastic. I mean, some of the new characters were really, really great as well. So you had Agent Poindexter. It's Poindexter. Oh, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Poindexter. Okay, yeah.
That's
you had Agent Poindexter. You had Rayna Deem, obviously. We also had Sister Maggie.
Yep, she was great. She really guided Daredevil through some tough times there.
Mm, indeed. So yeah, about 3 new characters, all who were amazing, added to an already great cast. And some amazing fight scenes and things. Yeah, all in all, just fantastic.
Good. What else?
We finished the first 10 episodes of Sabrina. So this was The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, not Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Don't get confused.
There was quite a difference.
Yes, there was a lot of difference.
It's much darker.
Yes.
I really liked it. I mean, you told me that it's by the same people that did Riverdale.
Yes.
And that is something that I can't stand. Right. I just don't believe the characters in that.
Okay.
They're too teenage drama stylized in such a way that I just don't believe that they're real.
Right.
And I watch them kind of walking around with their shirt off and stuff and I just think, what a twat. And I can't, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you like it. It's fine, but it's not for me. But this, I kind of believe, even though they're like witches and stuff, I kind of believe their characters a bit more. They seem a bit more grounded and real.
So you believe witches rather than like jokehead or something?
I'm aware that I'm not.
Very bizarre. Okay.
Yeah, I'm probably wrong. I'm probably wrong.
Well,
this,
to be fair, they come from the same comics. So you've got Archie comics and then Sabrina was one of the characters in Archie.
Right.
So they kind of come from very similar, well, they come from the same comic.
Okay. Yeah.
And then like offshoots of comics from Archie, like Afterlife with Archie and things, which kind of went into the supernatural and stuff.
Yeah,
okay. So it was interesting.
Yeah, that could be cool. They did mention Riverdale at one point, didn't they? Riverdale High or something.
And then I think that it's the town next to them because they're in Greendale, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then it's like Greendale, then Riverdale.
Yeah, okay.
So I think, it's kind of interesting.
I mean, I wouldn't mind sort of a darker version of Riverdale coming into it.
Well,
you know, as long as it's not exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean, the latest series of Riverdale is going a bit darker because there's some weird D&D role-playing but turned evil sort of thing.
Okay.
It's strange, but quite interesting. But I think they're kind of leading up to maybe doing a crossover because, I mean, why wouldn't they do a crossover? I know you wouldn't be a fan of it, but it could be interesting.
I mean, I would prefer if they did it separately.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Not a crossover.
Right.
But they just had Riverdale inside of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So in the style of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That,
Anyway, it's really good, but it's very, very dark. I mean, there's like suicides, and yeah, there's
a lot of hanging,
and possessions, and
possessions.
Yeah, it's like,
it's
whoa.
Not, yeah, if you have a weak
sensitive disposition. Yes.
Sensitive is probably a nicer way of putting it.
Maybe it's not for you.
Maybe
but
it's not
since
for
it's coming out at the Halloween weekend, it's like the perfect time, I think. So
yes,
very well marketed and very good. Like timing and stuff, but yeah, I really enjoy it. I think the cast are great. I love is it Lucy Davis who is in Wonder Woman, the she plays Aunt
she's great.
Hilda yeah.
Yes.
so
Zelda's
funny.
Great.
Yes,
I really love all the characters.
They're yeah
very...
yeah, I am a little bit disappointed about the cat though, Salem.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not in it very much and he doesn't talk, which I loved.
No.
In the 90s CITV show.
Yes,
I thought that
we
was
have
great.
Had some indication that maybe familiars can talk.
Yes, that
so
is true.
That might come into
also,
it.
Also, lady who plays Missy from Doctor Who.
She's fantastic.
Also Green Wing fame. Yeah, she's fantastic. I think she kind
ways.
Of almost steals the show, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, she just plays like barmy crazy just so well, I think.
Yes.
It's just yeah, fantastic. I love her. What else have we been watching? So Doctor Who, we've had the
yes.
third episode.
Great third episode. Really smashed it, didn't they?
Yes.
I mean, I really like the kind of TV with the moral stuff in
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're missing a lot of that nowadays. I don't
Definitely.
Know if it seems kind of old school now or something.
Well, it's all sort of like, I don't want to sound really old, but it's like Love Island and Celebrity
yeah.
Big Brother and sorry if you like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I feel that kids are going to learn the lessons where they really identify with the subject matter. And so I think it's important that it has a good message.
Yeah.
And I think TV is a great place for that stuff, you know?
Definitely.
So I think that given the constant bad news we kind of have from the media and everything, we really need to get back to that kind of morality coming through mm. in other areas of our
media.
Lives.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Public service announcement over.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I thought the scene on the bus was just fantastic. And I
yeah.
was a bit like, ooh.
So it's all about Rosa Parks and the kind
yes.
of civil rights thing.
Yeah, with Martin Luther King and how
yeah.
that kind of happened. And it
yeah.
sparked this big movement and stuff. And it was, I just thought it was really empowering. And it was just a really great episode. And I really like the Doctor Who ones where they are actually kind of like historical.
Yeah.
I think they're really, really great. I like the alien ones too, but I did quite like the more historical one.
Okay. Yeah, I think the stuff that's done sort of modern day on Earth is kind of generally quite uninteresting. I think
yes.
the historical stuff on Earth is good.
Mm-hmm.
And when they go to other planets, I really enjoy that too, just for its creativity and stuff. It's very
yeah.
visually very interesting usually. So yeah,
I started watching Titans, which is the latest DC show. Very good. Watched the first two episodes. Not going to say anything more, but yes.
Good.
Also started watching some of the DC CW shows. So I watched the first couple of The Flash. This was when Chris was away. Of course.
Right.
So yeah, I started watching the first couple of The Flash, first couple of Arrow. Did I watch anything else? I don't know. Oh, the first Black Lightning, because I actually quite like Black Lightning.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think they're good if you've got nothing else to see on a train.
Right.
I don't know. I'm kind of losing my love with them. But I'm intrigued with the crossover. I think that would be good.
There's some really funny pictures from that crossover.
Yeah, really great.
Those suits do not fit quite right.
No.
Yes. Other things, just sort of strictly, Great British Bake Off.
Yep.
The Apprentice.
Oh, yes.
That's mainly it,
Graham Norton. Yes. I do like a good bit of Graham Norton, actually. I mean,
I never feel like watching it, but when I'm watching it, I quite enjoy it.
Right. It's just that, oh, that kind of irritates me when he first comes on.
Yeah,
I don't know what is that about. I don't know. Anyway, he had Emma Stone on and he had...
He turned out to be Emily Stone.
Yes. What? Mind blown. Melissa McCarthy. There was also the two people from Fantastic Beasts,
yes.
Jude Law and Eddie Redmayne. And it
yes.
was, yeah, it was really good last night, actually.
And also Rick Rolled.
Yeah.
What do I mean?
What do you mean?
Rick Astley.
That's the
yes.
one. Never going to give you up. Yeah,
Never
that guy.
Give you up.
But we've got to talk about Bake Off. I mean, we're in the finals next week.
We're up to the finals already.
What?
Yeah.
How insane is that? And I just thought it was very sad. I am very disappointed in Rahul. Yes.
Oh, okay. Explain what you mean.
Well, I just feel like... I don't know. I don't want to spoil anything if no one's seen it yet.
I'm sure people have
but
seen it
by now. I really warmed to left. And I feel like he's not really deserving of his place there. Mm. Because he should have gone out last time. I really liked him. I did like him at the start. Like him. The whole, oh, I'm not very good. Oh. I found that very endearing at the start. But by now, you should know that you are good. And if you are in the final, it's just kind of a bit annoying now. I don't know.
I see what you're saying. There is something there. But you can't just expect people's personality to change.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But
I don't know. Kim Joy for the win. Kim Joy's That's great. All I'm saying.
She's really good.
Right, and listening.
So we listened to Nerds Chatting today.
Yes.
Ben and James' chat about what they've been up to, which is really good. Enjoyed that.
You managed to make Alexa play it, finally.
Yeah, so we listened on our Sonos. So actually, we've discovered through testing on our own that you can find Nerds Chatting, Jack and the Geekstalk, and us on there. If you want to listen on Sonos. And the best way to do that is get the Pocket Casts app or sign up on the internet and then subscribe to your favourite podcasts on there.
Okay.
And then it's really easy to just play those from the app. Mm-hmm. You can do TuneIn and Stitcher and stuff as well. Right. But Nerds Chatting aren't on there currently.
Oh, guys. I don't know why that is. We'll set it up for you.
We'll put you on there.
It just makes it really easier, doesn't it? Because we tend to, like, we like listening to it when we're, like, cleaning or just doing stuff around the house.
Right, or writing something. Or,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, it was really great to listen to through that.
Yeah, indeed.
Really enjoyed it, guys. Good episode.
Dropped you in it, though, didn't they? Like,
what do you mean?
Now you kind of have to do live
tweeting of Doctor Who. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. But
I did that once.
I did do it once. I did the first episode, and I really did enjoy it. And I got quite a lot of interaction. But then I saw someone saying on their Twitter, like, I don't know whether it was Sarkley or not, if people keep live tweeting Doctor Who, I might have to block them. I'm like, oh, near.
Well, maybe we should do like a poll on that or something.
Yeah,
do
maybe.
Do you want us to live tweet stuff or is it annoying?
I like it, but clearly, I don't know. Never mind.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
I also listen to Marvel Movie News, which is a Marvel podcast from Popcorn Talk, I think it is.
Interesting.
I tend to listen to that every week because I do enjoy that one.
Good.
And Jack the Lads, I've got a new podcast out, which we're going to listen to next.
Playing? We played a little bit of Spider-Man today.
Yes, we're trying to finish it, aren't we? Because it's been out for ages now.
Trying implies that it's difficult.
Well, no, it's not difficult. I kind of don't want to finish it because it's so good, but then I kind of do. It's very confusing.
Yeah, it's also finding the time and everything. We're about 70% of the way through. We just did a little bit more of the story today and all the bad guys started popping up.
Yes, all together. Yeah. What? That was terrifying.
Yeah. So that's cool.
So good though. But anything else? Or should we kick it off with our...
Galileo, Galileo, Figaro Magnifico. Oh, God.
Okay, so next up, Bohemian Rhapsody review.
Whoop, whoop.
So Bohemian Rhapsody launched itself into cinemas on 24th of October in the UK. This was directed by Bryan Singer / Dexter Fletcher, because there was a bit of controversy there. The film stars Rami Malek as Freddie Mercury, Joseph Mazzello as bassist John Deacon, Ben Hardy as drummer Roger Taylor, Gwilym Lee as the guitarist Brian May, Lucy Boynton as Mary Austin, Mike Myers, of all people, as record label Ray Foster, Aidan Gillen as manager John Reed, and Tom Hollander as lawyer Jim Beach. So the synopsis of the film is a chronicle of the years leading up to Queen's legendary appearance at the Live Aid 1985 concert.
Yes.
Whew, and breathe. So, what were your initial thoughts going in and coming out of the film then, Chris?
Right, well, I really love Queen. Mm-hmm. I don't know that much about them personally and stuff.
Yeah.
But I love the music.
Okay.
And I love Rami Malek in Mr. Robot. So I was very excited for this movie, actually. As excitement for movies goes for me, this was this was up there.
Wow.
And then coming out of the film, I wasn't disappointed. I really enjoyed it. Had a great time with Queen and Freddie Mercury and Queen and their story and their music. What about you?
Yeah, so same as you. I was brought up on a lot of like 80s rock.
Yeah.
Because stuff like Meatloaf, Queen, Guns N' Roses, that kind of thing. So Queen was like pretty much up there. Oh, and David Bowie, of course. So Queen was up there as one of my favourite like 80s bands. Yes. So yeah, super excited about this. Same as you. I knew the basics of the story. of the history of the band and, you know, the tragedy that happened with Freddie Mercury and his passing and that kind of thing. But yeah, I was a bit concerned. I think the film was about 10 years in the making, like, eventually.
Really?
Yeah, how insane is that? So it had Sacha Baron Cohen was originally cast as Freddie Mercury.
That's interesting.
He was the lead for about 6 years, I think. He was replaced by Ben Whishaw for, you know, creative differences, for him to be replaced by Rami Malek in the end.
Wow, okay.
Wow, which is crazy. Also, as I said, Bryan Singer was credited as the director, but he left again for creative differences. But there are many different reports on, I think he was actually fired. So Dexter Fletcher actually came in, and I think he finished the film off. So after all that, I was a bit like, oh, yeah, is this going to be any good sort of thing? But like you, I absolutely love Rami Malek. I think he's fantastic in Mr. Robot. So yeah, I was really excited about this. I read some of the initial reactions on Twitter because I follow quite a lot of you know, film Twitter guys, and they weren't great.
Yeah.
So, but...
Yeah. What were some of the comments then?
Someone said that it was embarrassing. I was like,
okay,
which is weird, but it was all sort of middling, like it was a bland film, but Rami Malek was great sort of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, I came out of it, I really loved it, so take it with a pinch of salt, guys. I mean,
I think there might have been a few bits which were a little on the bland side.
Yeah. Well, that's fair enough.
But mostly I enjoyed it.
I thought we had a great audience too. When we went in, it was absolutely packed. And I hadn't seen that for a long time for a film.
Yeah.
We went on Wednesday, so it was the opening day. And yeah, I just love being in a film screening when there's just like, you can tell there were a load of Queen fans there as well.
And
there
were like, some buzz, you know, it's good.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so characters and performances.
So, characters then. What do you think of Rami?
I think he pretty much stole the film, right?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I thought it was brilliant.
Definitely. The film definitely centred more on Freddie, really, didn't it? Rather than the band as a whole. But I do think he stole the show. I mean, he was fantastic. Going from his character in Mr. Robot as quite a shy, introverted hacker to this flamboyant queen, you know, strutting around and just being this fabulous darling performer.
Yeah, so it's a lot of range.
Yes,
it?
Yeah, fantastic. I just thought it was incredible. And I mean, to see the transformation throughout the film as well, to go from this kind of bumbling airport worker to this absolute star was just fantastic.
Agreed. Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. He killed the performance. I don't know how accurate it was because I never really watched like any of Freddie Mercury live or anything. Yeah. But I thought it was great.
I mean, when we got home, we watched the Live Aid performance. And I'm pretty sure they must have studied that because, I mean, they were pretty much spot on with all of their performances, weren't they? And I mean, they captured like all their mannerisms just so perfectly. And I mean, that part of the film for me was just phenomenal. I got a little bit tingles. And I think they all did amazingly in the Live Aid part.
Agreed. Who else?
As I said before, there wasn't really a huge amount of time for those guys.
Yeah.
But what there was, I did quite enjoy.
Yeah, I like their characters. Yeah. I think the Brian May guy looked a lot like Brian May.
Yes, that was pretty impressive.
The Live Aid guy.
Bob Geldof. Yes.
His character in it looked a lot like him as well. Yes. They nailed a lot of the look, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was great.
I really liked it as well when they're all as a whole, like recording and coming up with those interesting, quirky ways of recording and stuff.
I thought
that was good. And it was good to see them like, you know, when they were kind of working out one of their songs and We Will Rock You. Yeah. That was really good. And yeah, I liked it when it was the more kind of musical aspects of the film. But yeah, when they were together as a band, I did kind of prefer it a bit more.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I would have liked to see more of the other guys. But, you know. For what there was good. So
I liked their dynamics as well. I thought they were quite funny. How like Freddie was always late and they made him stand outside while they had the decision and
tables
things.
Have turned, guys.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
What do you think of Mike Myers?
Well, I didn't know this was Mike Myers at all. I mean, he's got like glasses on, he's got a beard and big ginger hair. Because we went with my mum and dad on the way home. We were like, where was Mike Myers? And dad was like, he was the record label guy. And we were like, what? And I just saw a picture of him when I was writing up my notes and I was like, wow, that actually is Mike Myers. I just thought it was quite ironic, wasn't it? Because obviously he did the whole Wayne's World Bohemian Rhapsody thing and he was saying...
Made a joke about the car thing.
Nice in reference there.
Yeah, that was good. I didn't recognise it was him either, but I knew something was off with that guy because of the beard just didn't look quite right. But yeah, it was great. Who else should we mention? Anyone?
So there was Lucy Boynton as Mary Austin.
She was good.
Yeah, I didn't know about this part of Freddy's life.
No.
So it was quite interesting, like, out. Yeah. Also, I didn't know about the whole Zanzibar thing as well. And he was called, where was it Farouk?
I don't know.
He definitely changed his name, didn't he? And then he changed his last name as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was, very interesting. I thought she was good, but possibly a bit too much emphasis on that side.
Yeah, maybe. Cool. So story then. So it was mostly just the history of Queen, which I liked quite a lot about Freddie and kind of the run-up to Live Aid. It was great to see how it all started and how they kind of met and got together and some of the impression of what they were like when they started out. Don't know how accurate any of that was, but I enjoyed it.
Well, to be fair, actually, I think Brian May and Roger Taylor were producers of the film.
Okay.
So it must have been quite accurate. So I think,
Yeah, you would hope so. Yeah, like you said, I had no idea Freddie had a wife or anything, or a girlfriend or whatever it was.
Fiance.
Yeah, just great to get a glimpse of how they made their music and all that stuff. And I would have liked more of a look at the other guys in the band, like I said, but for what we got, I enjoyed.
Yeah, I feel like it was a bit of a greatest hits ensemble.
Yeah, at times. But that's what you want, I think, from a Queen movie. If you like Queen, and that's obviously the audience they were targeting, were the people that like Queen. So, true. Yeah, that's what you want.
Yeah. as you said, I liked it how you found out. I definitely found out a lot more than I didn't know. You know, as I said, him coming from Zanzibar, moving over here, how they actually had a band called Smile beforehand, and then he just came up and just sang to them in the car park, and they were like,
for sure.
I thought that was great. And then just to see like the transformation for them all, and you know, finding out that they were gonna be like electricians and physicists and things. it was really nice, and
could have turned out quite differently, couldn't it? Cool. So what do you think of like visuals, choreography and everything?
I thought it was a very stylized film. Loved all the different costumes as well. I mean, Freddie must have had a humongous wardrobe because just some of the stuff he wore was fantastic. Fantastic, darling. I feel like I need to be like Craig Revel Horwood in this review. I just thought it was great. I mean, obviously the hair as well. Brian May's curly hair was great. And then the drummer had the, what's it called? You know, short at the front and then at the back.
Like a mullet type deal. Yeah. Sure.
And then they had like the track suits and things. Yeah, it was just very, very well done and very well like period. Very well done.
Specific.
I loved all the performances as well. I thought they were staged really well.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think you nailed it. Looked great to me. Yep. And I really like that they kept the Live Aid part very accurate and everything.
Yeah, that staging was fantastic. I mean, as I said, we watched it back and it was almost like identical, wasn't it? So really well done on that.
We've been watching a lot of Queen stuff since there was one that I quite liked. It was at a Green Day concert. And there was just a camera from the stage pointing at the audience before Green Day had even come on, I think. And I guess Bohemian Rhapsody started playing on the kind of speakers, you know, like the music plays before the gig. And everyone started singing along and it became like this huge thing. And it was incredible.
It was really good. Even when the solo was on, they were all kind of...
And they all clapped themselves at the end as well. Brilliant.
Great. So soundtrack.
Soundtrack. Queen.
What else can you say? It was fantastic. Yeah, it was Queen, right?
Enjoyable. I mean, to enjoy this movie, you probably have to like Queen.
Yes. I mean, I think that's a given, right?
What was that comment that you saw on Twitter? Something about just because...
Oh, just because it's a film about Queen and features a load of Queen songs doesn't mean that it's a good film. Is that right?
Right. And that is true. Yeah. But conversely, if you like Queen a film about Queen, it does help.
It's like going to see Battle of Hell. Yeah. You don't go and see that if you're not a Meatloaf fan, right?
Right. I mean, it could be a film about Queen that is very critical of Queen. And in that case, if you don't like Queen, maybe you'd prefer that movie. Hmm. Yeah, it depends on the situation, doesn't it, really?
Yes. But I'm looking at the soundtrack. It was interesting hearing Smile, though. That's featured on the soundtrack. Okay. Also, the 20th Century Fox fanfare was pretty good. Do you remember that right at the start? This is kind of setting the tone for the rest of the film.
That rocky twist on it.
But what is your favorite? What would you say your favorite Queen songs were?
Oh, damn. Well, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. I mean, it was just
the top one.
Just crazy how they explained how they wanted to come up with like a, what was it? Like an opera rock sort of song.
Yeah, they wanted to make it more theatrical and more operatic, didn't they? And more like something that you could really get into and almost like theatre, you know, but in a in an album, which is great. It's
which
clever.
Is crazy. And the way they were kind of doing the music for it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just crazy.
Yeah, I don't even know how you come up with something like that. Like, just pure then, like, creative,
yeah,
bouncing ideas off each other. And like the chances of these guys coming together and actually being able to make something like this is so shockingly small, isn't it, really? Mm. Like, and they went into that in the film because he went off on his own and he couldn't do it on his own.
Yeah.
Like, they needed each other.
They did need each other.
So it's surprising because it would have been so easy for them not to come together as a group, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You know? But I mean, I do want to know what the Scaramouche means and, yeah, you know, all those kind of things. Yeah, yeah. You know?
Yeah, well.
Galileo, yeah, where really did that care. Come I love from? It. I don't know. Just great. The only thing I am going to say is you can't spoil this film because everyone knows, right, the story, yeah, yeah, right? I was a bit upset that they didn't do Champions. Sorry, I mean We Will Rock You.
Yeah, 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 they didn't do We Will Rock You there. But they had done it previously in
the trailer. Oh, yeah, that's
in
true.
In a different place in the film. So yes. I guess they were like, well, how can we mix this up so that we don't repeat things?
No,
but
no,
I actually feel like it would have,
like,
been okay if they'd repeated it.
Yeah, it would have been like a good
would have been the perfect thing to end it on, wouldn't,
yeah,
it?
But, yeah. But did they actually do it at Live Aid is the question.
I'm not actually sure.
Could we be like inventing history?
No, they don't think they did.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's why they didn't do it.
But it would have been amazing.
That would have been amazing.
The whole crowd just stomping and...
Yeah.
They probably would have crushed the arena, like destroyed
true.
It.
I did like the AO though. That was good.
AO.
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 Good to have a bowl of good. Yeah, that was really good. Okay, so I think that pretty much brings it to our rating. So, Christopher, how would you rate Bohemian Rhapsody?
Well, Nicola, I would give it 2 thumbs up, actually. I really enjoyed it. I love Queen. I always enjoy their music, and it was fun getting some insight into their history. Rami Malek was great. I don't know enough about Freddie Mercury to properly judge the accuracy of the performance and everything, but I thought it was good. I thought maybe his teeth were a little bit too obvious. It might have been a little bit sort of... Halloween costume, right. Maybe. He could have been a bit wider around the shoulders, but I know that's not physically possible to change someone's appearance in that
Rami,
way.
Rami, you must do so, this.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought, oh, it was great. It was really enjoyable. Could it have been better? Sure, maybe, you know, but so could everything, right? So, you know.
Touché.
It could have been a different film and it could have been great.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say. I think a lot of people would want something else, but you get what you get. And if you like it or you don't. So, okay. Yeah, what about you?
How do I say anything other than that?
Sorry.
Yeah, I'd give it 1.5 thumbs up.
Okay.
I did really enjoy the film.
Yes.
I thought, obviously, the soundtrack was fantastic, but we are huge Queen fans. So that's what we expected, really, wasn't
right.
it? Going into the film, that's pretty much what we wanted. And it did.
Agreed.
Deliver, and there were some great moments, and the Live Aid scene was fantastic, and there were a lot of people in our audience, I think, were clapping at one point, which was,
yes,
still,
yeah,
which was pretty good.
There was
good.
A few laughs in there as
there
well.
There were a few laughs, yeah. I did really enjoy it. I just think it was a bit surface level on some occasions. But other than that, the performances were great, a fantastic soundtrack, and very, very stylish. So, yeah, really enjoyed it, and if you're a Queen fan, you'll love this one.
I think it was deep enough for me. But
okay.
I'll just leave it there, but
yes.
I think it was deep enough. I don't think it needed anything else.
So let us know what your thoughts were of Bohemian Rhapsody,
yes,
over on social media. This week we're joined by special guest Jay Annie, who plays Agent Nadim in Daredevil season 3.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, this one's pretty exciting. It's...
Yes, he was really great in the series. I really enjoyed,
yeah, great performance.
One of the best characters.
Definitely. It's also a new... Completely new character.
Completely new
Not
character.
Even in the comic books.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty cool, right? Just to be like a completely new character, not in the comic books and like...
Kind of steal the show a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty
sure.
impressive, I believe.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
So it was quite funny with this interview. So we asked you guys on Twitter, if you got any questions for him, just let us know. And then he kind of retweeted it and it kind of exploded. And in this interview, we basically had to pick out like the best of the... How many answers did we have? 100 and... something questions.
Many.
many. So we tried to pick out the funniest or most interesting questions. So it's pretty much, yeah, down to you guys.
But he started answering them.
He did. I know. Like, no. Hold your horses, mate.
Come on.
Yeah, so really excited about this one. Really, really hope you enjoy this interview. It's one of the most fun interviews I've had. So thank you so much to Jay, and thank you so much to his publicist as well for letting him come on the show.
Thanks a lot, guys.
I really hope you enjoy this one.
Boom.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Seems like you're man of the hour at the moment.
Yeah, it's pretty mental. It's all good. It's kind of overwhelming sometimes, but it's very, very nice.
Yeah, I mean, the response to that tweet is just phenomenal. Do you get that like all the time? Or?
Well, definitely in the last week. I mean, if I did it like a week before that, no one would have cared. But but now everyone's... yeah, everyone's the character went down really well. So yeah, it's very, very cool at the moment. And thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. So you promised to dish us the dirt on the Daredevil cast. So we would love to know what Vincent smells like, what Wilson's favourite colour is, and what Deborah's favourite karaoke song is.
Vincent D'Onofrio smells like a fresh meadow breeze. He actually always smells really good, actually, for a huge crime boss. He's got a lovely scent about him. Wilson's favourite colour is probably whatever shade of colour my skin is. I don't know what Deborah's karaoke song is, actually. It's probably the theme song of Dungeons and Dragons.
Right. I mean, are you saying you never went out and did karaoke at all?
Didn't actually. We were too busy working, but I'm sure that we will at some point. I'm sure we will.
Yeah, fantastic. Talking about favourite fight scenes, because Daredevil was just so well known for the fight scenes. In season three, you had Daredevil versus Bullseye and you had the prison riot scene. What was your favourite?
I think it was Daredevil Bullseye one, just because just the tension that had led up to that. And it was the first time we were really seeing. I mean, apart from the first part where he saves Wilson Fisk from the Albanians, like seeing him in the suit and just the tension in that scene. I remember when we first saw it, they showed it at Comic-Con. And we were, because we haven't seen anything at that point. Okay. And when they showed that scene, it was just unbelievable. It was just such a great, great scene. And like the soundtrack as well. And, you know, it really gets your heartbeat going. And that was the one that really blew me away, was the bulletin fight scene. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, definitely highlight the show. So yeah. We've got so many fan questions to go through. I've really limited my questions. First one is at Nurse Chatting. They said, did you have the same reaction as we did when Dex took his shirt off? It seems like there's a bit of like you and a Dex sort of a bromance going on here. Well, there's a lot of questions about that.
Yeah, well, first of all, like me and Wilson are like good mates, because we were like the new kids for this season, so we bonded straight away, and we dig at each other a lot. And it started because he posted these pictures on Twitter from like a shower scene. Yeah. And then we went back and forth, and then it started this thing where we've got a bit of a bromance. So what was my reaction to it? I've seen it so many times before, I'm like, whatever. Do you know what's crazy about him? Most people, when they have like a topless scene, like don't eat for like a week before.
Right.
This psycho is eating like pasta and pizza and cakes. What? And he's just like got the most amazing genetics and genes that anything he eats doesn't touch him. I mean, he ate like a pig. It was unbelievable, but he's absolutely ripped. So that's what the most amazing thing is. Like you're waiting for him to look really bad, but he doesn't. He looks great.
Damn it.
So yeah, we all hated him. We hated him. That's how I felt. I just had envy.
Nice. So the next one's from Matthew Fisher at Couch Potato MVP. Did you read any Daredevil or Marvel comics to prepare for the series?
No, I didn't. Because my character was like an original character, I didn't really need to do that much homework beforehand. And because he's new to the world, I didn't really need to know what was going on beforehand. So no, I didn't. I mean, like I was always into comics when I was younger, but no, I don't remember ever reading anything to put. I mean, I watched the first two seasons, which were amazing. But in terms of for the character, no, not really.
Fair enough. Next up is Jack and the Geekstalk. Who was more intense to work with, Charlie Cox or Wilson Beth?
Charlie, I think, because Wilson's just a nutcase. We're always like laughing around. That's the thing. The thing which is so amazing about watching Wilson is he's such a joker. Like, we I mean, in between takes, and even when we're doing, if they had an outtakes reel, it would just be me and him laughing at each other. Literally, just be hours of that. But Charlie's like, you know, very, you know, he knows his character so well, and he knows what, how he would react to certain situations and stuff like that. So, you know, it was working with, it was more intense working with Charlie.
Yeah. I mean, and you two are the two Brits on the block, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We had a good laugh as well. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, he just wants to make sure he's very truthful to, you know, the character of Daredevil. So he really gets into it.
Yeah, definitely. So Hazel at Charlie Cox said, "What is Agent Nadim's hair routine?" My personal favourite.
That's funny. Nothing. I just woke up like this.
Oh.
Yeah. Just a good amount of grease. The hair department did a great job. I mean, I think I'm getting more plaudits for my hair than my performance, which is nice. I don't really have one, to be honest with you. Most of the time it looks like a mess, but for the show they toned it down and made it look more stylish.
Yeah, stylish mess. It's fine.
Yeah, stylish, yeah.
Yeah. So Chris loves Matthew at Matt Murdoch said, "Favourite Dexter scene? Mine's all of them."
Oh, the one when he comes to the house is pretty intense.
Yes.
I enjoyed doing that with him. And obviously the scene where you know what happens. They're always... them two, yeah, were the ones that stand out for me. It's crazy, we did such an intense scene, but, you know, in between takes, you know, we're laughing and joking around and stuff, and then we get back to it, you know. Well, we had a lot of really good scenes. We always had a lot of good fun, so it was nothing but really good memories. It's amazing that it came across, like, so serious on screen, because I remember in between what a laugh it was, so, yeah.
Nice. So Maddie Poindexter at Killmonger said, "Has Jay seen Infinity War? And if so, who does he think is the strongest Avenger? I need to know, it's important."
Whoa. That's funny. I have seen Infinity War. We actually got a little secret screening before it came out, nice. Which was super cool. Joe Quesada set that up for us. He's really impressed me in the last... I mean, he's always been great, but like Thor, since Ragnarok. And then, you know, he's become the most powerful one as well now.
Definitely.
And he's super funny, man. He's like, he cracks me up. I'd say it's Thor for sure. All of them are really good, but I think he speaks to my sense of humor a lot more.
Fair enough. So let's at Bereptissa, how do we say that? Who wore the DD suit better, Charlie or Wilson?
Well, I never saw Charlie in it, like, in real life, you know. I only saw it in the second season. Yeah, he wore the black suit all of this season, so I've only really seen Wilson in it, and he fills it up nicely. Yeah, it looks cool on him. And also with that ridiculous square jaw that he's got, you know, yes. It's like him and the Mark, he looks great in it. He looks super cool in it. So only because I haven't seen Charlie in real life in the suit, I'd have to go with Wilson. I saw Charlie said something about his butt looks better, but I wouldn't know anything about that.
Of course not, no.
Yeah. No.
So Sophie at Captain Marvel said, "Are you aware that you have Disney Prince hair?"
I am aware now.
Yeah.
I am aware now. Before, I didn't really know. I think I've been compared to Aladdin and Eric from The Little Mermaid, which are both lovely comparisons to have. Apparently I do. Apparently I do. Unfortunately, I'm too old to play a Disney prince, but I'll take it. It's funny because they don't know it's actually a toupee. I'm totally bald on top and it's just hair at the sides. I look like a monk at night.
You've crushed everyone's dreams there.
Yeah, I know. Spoiler.
Hazel at Charlie Cox said, "Did anyone in the cast pull any pranks on set?"
No, not really. I mean, like, we do stuff like, you know, we had a lot of night shoots, so Paul Wilson had to do literally 3 weeks full of night shoots. So he was a mess, and he was doing all these intense fight scenes as well. So any chance he'd get to take a nap, he'd do it. So when we were shooting at the church, he'd just find a pew and fall asleep. And we'd do stuff like put stuff on him, you know, balance things on him. I think I've got pictures. I'll have to post them sometime of us just balancing thing on him in this daredevil suit, you know, with just with like a Bible on his head.
All curled up.
So that's the kind of stuff we did. But we didn't really have much time to pull really crazy pranks, but I would have liked to. Also, you don't really know how people are going to respond to it. You know, imagine pulling a prank on Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah,
so sometimes you have to choose your audience sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. So Spookyville at Lazarus Ludgate said, who in the cast has the best and worst music taste? Now, that's a tricky one, I guess.
I don't know, because like I always liked, whenever we went into like hair and makeup, I always liked putting my music on. And but no one else really did. Everyone liked to be like pretty quiet. So they probably hated me coming in. But some people really didn't like my music. But I don't know who'd have the worst taste. I'd go Charlie because he's an old man.
Yeah, there seems to be this running joke.
I reckon he's got probably worst taste. Yeah, well, basically it's a running joke because, like, he doesn't... Well, fair play to him. I mean, like, he doesn't do any of the social media and all that stuff, and he dresses like an old man. So I'd give him a bit of stick for that. But
yeah.
I don't really know, to be honest with you, but I'm going to... If I had to guess, it'd be Charlie had the worst taste and I had the best taste.
Fair play.
Despite what people think.
Yeah, solid answer.
Solid, yeah.
Yeah. So Sylvia of Valak Swift said, how long till a buddy cop movie starring you and Wilson?
It's in the works right now. I'm writing it as we speak. No. Unfortunately, he's in Marvel now. So I don't think it would happen for a while. But yeah, that would be funny if we did do it. Maybe one day down the line. I mean, a lot of people said it. A lot of people have said it just because we like, you know, we have a good laugh with each other, and a lot of people on the cast and crew and everyone was saying, you know, we should do that. But I don't know. It'd be funny. It'd be great to do it one day. But, you know, he's too busy being a big Marvel superstar now.
Yeah, poofed. Maybe if they do like the special features when they release the DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we could do something like that. I don't know. We'll see. I'll run it past him, see when he's free.
Yeah. So Chris Loves Matthew at Murdoch said, did you know Ray was going to die when you got the part, and how hard did you cry?
I didn't know when I got the part. Eric, the showrunner, basically gave everyone an option to say, do you want to know what happens through a season? Or you don't. I like to know. So we sat down. He told me what the arc was of the character and what was going to happen. And then we got to like halfway through the season and there was discussions of we might keep you alive. But I said, you know, for the purpose of the story and for the character arc and what Eric wanted to get across about how, you know, fear and power and corruption impacts, you know, the average American, you know, I was like, if you really want to get that point across, we really should call it a day for him. I didn't cry that much. Wilson cried more than I did.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been a blast. It really has.
Thank you so much. It's been great, and love to everyone in England.
So Hawk Topic time.
Whoop, whoop.
So in this week's Hawk Topics, obviously because we reviewed Bohemian Rhapsody, and that is quite a big biopic by Queen and Freddie Mercury, we like to know which person or people you like to see dramatised in like a next biopic on the big screen. Because we've got Elton John coming out soon. Is that Rocket Man? So that's going to be quite interesting. So Chris, let's start with you. Which person or people would you like to see in a biopic? Have you actually thought about this yet?
I haven't thought about it too much. I would say maybe I'm just looking at a picture of Jackie Chan. That'd be kind of fun.
Okay. Were you looking at a picture of Jackie Chan?
Because someone did a review. For us.
Okay. I was like, where's Jackie Chan in this room?
Yeah, that would be fun.
That would be quite interesting, actually.
I don't know. Keanu Reeves? That would be weird and fun.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe some movie things, you know? Like maybe some like action heroes. Who we got? Like Bruce Willis or Harrison Ford. I can think of a lot of...
They don't have to be dead, do they?
I don't think
so.
Is
there a rule? I don't know. All rules are going out the window. Okay. Well, Elton John's still alive and
right, I said exactly.
Yes, I was really stupid. Sorry.
No, I think it's a fair point. Usually these things wait until
certain time.
Some years have passed, I think. But okay, what about you?
Well, I was thinking along the same sort of route, Queen, David Bowie. Because, I mean, he's such a legend. Yeah. And Labyrinth was one of my favourite films when I was a kid. And he's got such a good back record. And I don't really know much about his actual personal history. Yeah.
Personal life.
Exactly.
Plus, you can go through all the different stages of Bowie over the years.
I mean, because he was, he had, what's that called? He brought out that album and he had a persona.
Right. And they kind of changed.
Ziggy Stardust. Right. Yeah. And he went through different kind of characters, didn't he? And like completely different wardrobes and things.
Like in that episode of Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah. You know, like, Bowie in space.
Hey, Bert. It's 1978 Bowie from the movie Labyrinth or whatever. I love it.
So yeah, I think there'd be so much to explore with that. I think that would be great. Or there was something, maybe a David Attenborough one. I think that would be great. Yeah. That would be fantastic. But then again, I just want David Attenborough to play David Attenborough.
Yeah.
So
could you do your own? Yeah, could you be your own biopic? I don't know.
I think he deserves one though. Okay, so muddling through this section, let's go to Twitter because you probably have more.
Yeah.
Better ideas. So, first up, Two Peas on a Pod at Two Peas on a Pod said Kurt and Nirvana.
Yes. Ooh. That's a solid choice right there.
Oh, I mean, I've just had another thought.
You had another thought.
Heath Ledger. That would be good. Yeah. Anyway, Kurt Nirvana, sorry. yeah, that would be fantastic, actually. I mean, he fits into that horrible, horrible, like, category of people dying at
I think it's 20. I think it's part of the 27 Club.
Yeah, like, and it's just horrendous. He was
musicians that die far too young.
Talented, and I mean, Dave Grohl was in the band. He was the drummer, right?
Right.
And yeah, it would just be a very interesting look.
You could do Foo Fighters biopic and have that kind of history involved in it as well.
Yeah, that's true. I just think that there'd be a lot to explore there, and it'd be very interesting. So
yes,
that
was a really good mine.
Good shout. So speakers at the Marker Guy. Hello, Marcus. He said Mark Bolan / T-Rex would be cool.
Cool.
Don't know too much about T-Rex, actually. So that would be quite good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he was definitely one of those who also sat in that category of dying too young.
Okay.
So yeah, might be an interesting one to delve into.
For sure.
So I Am Jack's Irregular Musings at I Am Jack's Musings said, how about Tolkien? You could have some war stuff, friendship with C.S. Lewis and his writings of Lord of the Rings. There's got to be parables to be drawn between real life experiences and fantasy writing.
Ooh, very true, yeah.
That would be really, really good, actually.
Definitely. I wonder where he got a lot of his inspiration from. Was it just creativity or?
I mean, to build such a
rich world.
Yes, yeah.
People do build these.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, I'm surprised you didn't say Terry Pratchett.
Terry Pratchett would be great. Damn.
You could, yeah, authors. I think they're definitely authors, very underrated as kind of biopic material, but they're really interesting characters. But Sarah at Caution Spoilers responded to that saying that friendship must have been incredible. My mum was at Oxford in the 50s and going through a massive book of essays after she died earlier this year, we found one which had Mr. Tolkien like to this written in pencil at the end. That's so nice. So Sarah at Caution Spoilers said, not a musician, but I really like a good film about Anne Boleyn and her complexities. Have been some good TV portrayals, but tend to be in relation to Henry VIII.
Interesting, yeah. Some real sort of history-based stuff. I wonder how much we really know about that, though.
Yeah, that's what
it's always difficult with these kind of ancient history kind of things.
Yeah, definitely.
How much details do we know that are
true? And or like
for sure true. You know?
And we know that, obviously, history is written by those who won, right? So, and it was pretty much a male-dominated world then.
Sure.
So how much did they slander women? And how accurate was... Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I think Anne Boleyn was quite a... She was quite a character, I think. And going up against Henry VIII, I mean... Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I don't know.
Sure.
But yeah, really, really good suggestion there. I really like that one. So Spider Dan and the Secret Boars at Dan_Boars said #Bowie. Oh, another one. Yeah. Good shout there, Dan. 20th Century Geek_pod at 20th Century Geek said, Vincent Price focused on his transition to horror icon, late 50s to 1970, and also Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, an honest telling of the creation of Marvel in the 60s.
That'd be interesting. Ooh. Yeah, sure.
Definitely. And I think I've seen a fan-made sort of image of Bryan Cranston with the Stan Lee sunglasses on, and it looked absolutely perfect. So I think that one could be a really, really good one.
I can go for that, sure.
Yeah. So Adam Eastman said Devin Townsend. I think I looked him up, but I think he's a guitarist.
Okay.
So yeah, Devin Townsend is a Canadian musician, songwriter, and record producer. He founded extreme metal band Strapping Young Lad.
Interesting.
Yes. And he's a singer, songwriter, vocalist, and guitarist. Okay. Yeah, we were just looking at the bookshelf.
Yeah, trying to find some more records. Yeah.
How about George R. R. Martin? I thought that could be quite interesting. But then his legacy would be never finished Game of Thrones.
Well, what about Michael Crichton?
Okay.
He did his book Travels, sort of all about
yeah,
his life.
That's true.
Sort of just a movie version of Travels. Mm.
Did you say he was going to be a doctor at one point? He was doing the training.
To be a medical doctor.
Yeah.
He did like the 3 years he needed to do or whatever. And that kind of, he has a very scientific mind, which is why I always liked his books, I think, because he has a very scientific approach to things. And yet he really, what I was surprised about reading Travels is that he's really into kind of like the metaphysical stuff as well. He was very interested in auras and spirit kind of readings and like seances and stuff.
Okay.
And he always tried to like prove or disprove them, but he kind of came out with it that, you know, these things might be real. We don't really know for sure. And like the scientific community is too quick to dismiss things. I think that's kind of interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So thank you so much for sending in your suggestions. Really, every single time we really enjoy reading them. So thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And look out for our next one, which we normally post like Friday, Saturday or Sunday, depending on how organized we are, right?
Right.
But we put them on our Twitter and Facebook. So if you just go and have a look there, they're both at We Have a Hawk Pod.
Yes.
Or / We Have a Hawk Pod. And you'll find them there.
Yeah, make sure you're following us so yes. You get the updates.
Indeed. So thanks so much for listening, guys. Really hope you enjoyed this episode, as well as our interview with Jay Alley. That guy's pretty hilarious. And thanks so much for all the funny questions, actually. Like, you know, do you know you've got Disney Prince hair and things like that? Yeah. That did make me laugh.
Yeah, thanks for playing along. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. So if you would like to take part in any Hawk topics or send us any questions or anything, how do they go about getting in touch with us then, Chris?
Sure. So we're most active on Twitter / We Have a Hawk Pod. And we're also on Facebook / We Have a Hawk Pod. And we're on Instagram / We Have a Hawk Pod. We've also started putting up some of our interviews as sort of slightly animated kind of things. So if you want to see that, that's on YouTube / We Have a Hawk with no pod.
Yes.
And our websites. We have a couple. We have a landing page, wehaveahawk.com, where you can go to see all of our links if you missed those. And we have wehaveahawk.co.uk, which is like a news reviews site where you can get all your latest information.
Right. Sorry. And Chris is done.
I'm done. That's it.
No one can top that. Okay, so next week's episode, because we're doing them sort of bi-monthly, is that correct?
I don't know correct what the terminology.
I don't know.
Means.
We're doing it every other week.
A month or...
Yeah. But yep. Next week
fortnightly,
we'll be fortnightly. There we go. We'll be having another one of our gifted interview specials because we've got Emma Dumont and Blair Redford still to come.
Cool.
And then following that, I'm not quite entirely sure what we've got, but we'll have another episode for you.
We'll sort it out, guys. We always
I mean,
do.
What is the next big... probably like Fantastic Beasts or something.
Yeah, I do have a list here of upcoming things.
Why don't you crack open the list and see what we've got?
So yeah, I mean, yeah, Fantastic Beasts would probably be the next one. There's also Ralph Breaks the Internet would probably be the one after that.
When's that coming out?
I don't know. But okay. Aquaman might be the one after that as well. Although there's also Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I think they're all December time though, aren't they? I think Fantastic Beasts is soon.
November,
yes. So probably that one until we change our mind.
Yes, until we change our mind.
Indeed. So thank you once again for listening. If you're a returning listener, and thank you so much. And if this is your first time listening and you've enjoyed it, please like and subscribe and give us a nice rating. That would be very, very nice.
Yes, we would greatly appreciate that. Thank you.
So once again, really hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for listening and hope to see you next time.
Bye.